welcome back to Homo en Letraning. I am Jay Daye, and we're a variety show, changes topics every week. But this week, since, you know, we're winding down, getting to the end of the year, we're just going to do like a little, just like a year wrap up, how we're feeling, what's going to be going on, our personal feelings. I trauma dump a little bit about how I'm like figuring out what my personality is. And Leslie talks about whatever she talks about. So this is going to be a very long episode of just us just catching up and having a good time. So listen to it. Enjoy it. Enjoy your holidays. Hopefully you find something that helps within our convo, because it's kind of what we always do, is we say these things because we're trying to see, like, does anything stick with you guys? Like, does anything help anybody else? Because the convos that we have, I feel, really improve our lives, and we hope that we're able to bring that up to you. But sorry this is late, bitch. They got me working like a dog. So yeah, enjoy it. And then you're going to enjoy some Avatar for the next couple weeks until we come back with season sunk. Alright, so how was your year? If you can sum it in one word.
Oh my gosh. What about two?
Okay.
My year was tough, but rewarding. Mm-hmm. Rewarding tough. What about you?
why do you say it's tough and rewarding?
It was tough, rewarding tough, because this year I turned.
Yeah. A number.
A number.
Yeah. A number that is more than 20, less than 40.
A new decade, yeah. As the people say. And honestly, I really don't want to be this cliche person, because I've been really aware about my surroundings, trying really hard every day to be very conscious for the last several years. And so I know about the fragility of life. I've seen my body change. I've seen my mind change. I've seen life around me change. I've seen my values change. I've seen everything change around me. And it continues to change. And so I just think that, like, when every year I try to reflect kind of like on everything that I've done, but last year was a very difficult year for me. And now, like, being on the other side of it, like, I have a lot of like gratitude, but it's also been really tough because life has changed very drastically for a lot of people around me, myself, and just keeping up with the times, right? And still trying to keeping up with, like, your curiosity for life and your excitement and your motivation. And the other day I was driving, was it today or yesterday? Every quote I've ever read just makes sense. Mm. Everything I've read about life, mm-hmm. and, like, go smell the roses. Like, the stupidest quotes, everything makes sense now.
Yeah.
You know? And seeing people change around me, seeing my parents get older, and knowing that was, like, bound to happen and all of that, it's like an extra layer of awareness, mm-hmm. and toughness at the same time. Mm-hmm. And just tough because, you know, I've had to make a lot of, like, the adult decisions. I've had to, like, balance a lot of new things. In my life, and new schedules, and stay consistent with, like, what I want, and kind of really map out, like, what's next for me and what I want to pursue, mm-hmm. professionally, personally, and what is that going to look like for me, and what kind of sacrifices I'm going to have to make, mm-hmm. and while keeping up with the times and mm-hmm. everything around you. So it's been tough that way. And also seeing, like, the world change a lot has been, like, really crazy, more so this last, like, month, these last 50 days, 51, 52, has been really tough. And I'm just more delicate, more sensitive. Mm. And I feel for a lot of the people around me, and I just feel it more intensely, mm. you know? And so that's why I think it's just been tough. It's just like, man, like, we're really adults. And there's, like, no going back. Like, you really can't. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no avoiding it. Like, you can't hide anywhere. It's not like you can't not wake up. It's not like you can't go do things for yourself. Like, you have to. And that's why I say, like, every quote makes sense and everything makes sense about moody older people that you meet, mm-hmm. and that mean person at work, mm-hmm. you know, and, like, the folks that become like really like burnt out and callous and cynical. And yeah, you kind of see yourself paying attention to certain things that you were like,
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so that I think is why it's been tough, but it's rewarding because I'm able to be sensitive enough to realize all these things. And also because I've learned a lot this year about myself, I've been more vulnerable with myself, and that's been rewarding. And I've been able to kind of like catch myself stopping old patterns as well. Mm-hmm. Comes with like maturity and like realizing, mm-hmm. and also seeing like work, still a lot of work that I have to do, mm-hmm. to continue to evolve. And I've learned so much in my new like employment, not new anymore, but I have found myself just really thankful for what I have currently, because it's allowed me to expand on a lot of myself and gives me time to do a lot of things that tie to my like tough and rewarding,
yeah,
kind of, you know, little point of view right now that I've had this year.
Yeah.
So yeah.
When you said you've noticed people and things around you changing, would you say that's like a positive or negative or both?
Yeah, you know, I do think it's a good mix of both. And not that there's anything wrong with like something being positive or negative, or yeah, that those things like exist even, but yeah, like I think like you just see people and like how they handle life and how they change and things that they say and like what does that mean for me? How does that align with me? Mm-hmm. What does it mean for me to see someone like fight so hard for something? Or what does it mean to see someone make a comment that just rubs me off the wrong way, or things like that, you know? And so it's really interesting to see life in itself that way through people around you. And I just think a lot of people are figuring themselves out, and a lot of people are really tired. And at the same time, I have a lot of like sympathy for people who are just trying to figure it out, because it allows me to be like nicer to myself, but also like even more like understand how we're like in all of this together over and over and over again, which I've known about the collective like struggle and effort that is needed, and still like wondering like, are people changing in that way? Are like people getting it? Are people waking up and realizing that, you know, it's like life really is like what you make it, and life is like, you know, you got to pay attention to these things, and like, is it worth it? Is it not? So a lot of these things that just comes with like experiences and stuff, but it's just, yeah, it adds a layer of experience to me seeing people react and experience certain things, because then it makes me think like, could that also be me? Could I also react that way? Would I ever react that way? How can I connect to someone thinking I could never like do that, or wondering like, how could they say that, and have I been in that position before, mm-hmm. and what could possibly make that person, you know, so like distressed or so upset, mm-hmm. and trying to sympathize even more and more with that, mm-hmm. and then seeing people, you know, like make big changes, take big risks, and just live life so big.
Yeah.
And thinking like,
that too?
Yeah, like thinking, you know, what is it?
Yeah.
Then, you know, what is it that they understand that I have yet to understand? Mm-hmm. And what limits are there in my kind of sphere of life that I'm living right now that I can't, mm-hmm. you know? So all these things kind of contribute to how like I'm experiencing life, but also I think kind of being more confident in like who I am, and more confident in just like, who cares, you know? And really being in that stage of like, who cares? Like, I need to live my life, mm-hmm. really. And I need to be like, okay with me. And just a lot of things don't matter. Mm-hmm. And even more realizing like over and over, like how close to death you are is like insane.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I don't know. It's just been really interesting. I don't know. I've enjoyed kind of having these revelations, and I've enjoyed kind of learning from people, and it's been like humbling too, because there's no way, you know, like I have two roommates, so like I'm always kind of learning from you guys in ways, that you may or may not know, and then I'm in a relationship, and then I have my family, and every single one in my family, immediate family, is changing in mm-hmm. so many ways. Then I have my like few close friends that are stepping into like very new stages in their life. You know, one's gonna be a mom soon. One is like working her big girl job. The other one's like doing this very cool thing, and I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's been very interesting.
Yeah, when you're saying like you started noticing people getting like you get it. Right? Mm-hmm. Why certain people act a certain way. Do you feel yourself fighting that or accepting it? Or what is your opinion now being in the shoes of like, oh, now I get it why you're cynical or why you're like this. Like, does that bring any insight to that or?
Yeah, you know, I get really sad sometimes because I'm just like, gosh, like, could that be me in a sense? And it is sometimes with the way that I react to certain things or being just frustrated about a certain thing and, or also like kind of seeing like life commence in a way with like really young people.
Yeah.
And I can see maybe why people were frustrated with me when I was younger because I had no idea. I was lollygagging, doing backflips.
Yeah. Thinking you're invincible.
Yes, doing things that I had no business doing and every business doing. And I can see why adults would be mad. Or I can see why my parents would be concerned. Because I too now feel that for what I see, right? Mm. And I can see why maybe people would say like, oh, you're young. Like, wait until... Wait for what? Oh, wait for this. You know what I mean? So it gives me like perspective from both sides. Cause now I've been on both sides. And now I think to myself, you know, like I don't want to, you know, kind of ever like make someone feel like some way because they're like not yet at this stage where I am or not yet at the stage that they will be. And just kind of admiring that kind of curiosity, that youth, the evergreen kind of nature of people, but also the callousness and people being cynical. I also wonder, you know, like, geez, like, is that what people look forward to? Will that be me in a decade? Because if life is really hard and we are at a point in the world and life where everything is televised and everything at the same time isn't televised. So will we know about the things that make us mad? And will I know about the things that make me like callous and cynical because I'm kind of already experiencing them. And if I see them around me all the time, poverty at every like corner, people dying all the time and the greed surrounded, you know, kind of a thread of greed around all of this. So I think about that. And I was like, are those reasons enough to be like this cynical? And I'm like, yeah, actually, yeah, they are. And not succumbing to it, but also like really, I think, holding space for it.
Yeah.
And thinking like, like, geez, yeah, I understand why you would be like cynical because, yeah, like you're, this is like your fifth year at this job and this and that, or like you're paying this much rent for how long and like you can't even do that. So I can understand a lot of the reactions from folks that are older than me or maybe my same age or what have you, because life is really hard. And I think that if you don't do the work or you don't have like really good practices in place of whatever it may be for you, very easy to just feel all kinds of things. And that can be a range of emotions on the spectrum. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so I think I don't know if I fully answered that, but I can see it and I can understand it and see why I may engage in some of that behavior because of like my surroundings at all times.
Yeah. Yeah, if correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm like hearing that like you recognize it and you can empathize with it, but you also are not trying to become that.
No, like that's like really scary to think about and say out loud because it's like, how can you not become that?
I know.
You know what I mean?
I do.
Cause
exactly.
I'm just like, gee, like,
yeah.
Those, a lot of these people were once my age and also younger. Mm-hmm. So they also lived a life where they can maybe understand exactly what I'm saying now and why react that way, or like why, you know, be so upset, or why, and why, but also like, why not?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of answers itself in the same sentence, because it's like, it's almost like, I wonder, like, these older people, right? Or just people in general that have lived and have, like, a lot of experience or wisdom, or have just lived a lot or gone through a lot, can kind of would potentially hear me and kind of be like, you wait.
Bitch.
Yeah, like, right? Yeah. Say, it's the same thing when I was younger. It's like, wait till you get, and it's like, oh, this is what you mean.
Yeah.
So I want to be very careful with that, because I can't imagine, and I can't say that I would, but I see, like, sternness in me, like, being created, and I do see, like, my perception and the view that I have of certain things be very, like, warped and, like, muddled, kind of, and, like, just tainted, you know, because of humanity and how we see it, you know, and especially like what this year has been. And I just, like, and I feel like that gap gets bigger and bigger and bigger of like, either like realizing stuff and realizing this and realizing that. And I'm just tired of realizing, you know what I mean?
Kylie said it first.
Yeah. So I think that gap gets bigger and bigger. And so what do you do with that? And how do you not become like the cynical person? But also, how do you not become like oblivious and just passive?
Yeah. I don't know what someone said something about, like, when you fight that, that's like not like, like, liberation is like when you fight that feeling of like being cynical or giving up.
It's an act of resistance in itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an act of resistance, and it's political. Yes.
Who said that?
I can't
remember, but yeah,
Angela Davis.
Angela.
It is. Resting is an act of resistance and very political.
It's a resistance against capitalism.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, resting, you know, walking outside barefoot. All these things, right, that are like kind of just, you know, popping up and kind of, you know, they make their way into your life and all of that. So that is exciting to know, like, new knowledge is always kind of being downloaded to me, and I'm like experiencing it and stuff. But yeah, I have been doing a lot of thinking, obviously, this past year. A lot of thinking.
It's your Virgo.
And it's my Virgo moon and my ascending. And I don't know, I am excited about life, and I feel just so deeply more for a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Like, this year is the year I've cried the most.
Really?
It's insane, dude. Like,
that's crazy.
Insane. Like,
are you just sitting in here crying?
Yeah.
That's crazy. I'm out there fucking playing video games, and you're in here fucking like
bawling my eyes out. And like, especially with these last like 50 whatever days or whatever, reading anything, I'm just like in tears. Like, I'm just... And then I saw a fucking video on Instagram saying, like, you better get ready for this because it applies to you. If you don't live with your parents and you potentially, like, see them, like, once a year or twice, and they potentially are going to live, like, 20 years more, that means you're only going to see them, like, 20
more times.
Yeah. I said, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was gutted.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And so that throws me for like a whole different like...
Like guilt trip and all that stuff.
Kind of like, what am I doing? Like, do we need to pack up and move? Like, what do we need to do, right? Mm-hmm. To not feel the heaviness of that small, tiny number. Yeah. And so things like that, like I just, we'll read something, or someone will say something really nice to me at work about how, like, I changed their life and, like, all these things. And it's, like, super rewarding. And then I'm like, it doesn't matter that I don't make a lot of money. Like, this is how, this is really like life in itself. Yeah. This is how life is made. And this is how love is created in community. And so things like that. And I, obviously, you know, I work in a space where it can be very heavy. So that also throws me for another wrench. For sure. Like, oh my gosh. For sure. Like, you're thinking about this. I'm thinking about that.
For sure.
So I don't know, a lot of things. So yeah, it's crazy what turning will do to you because...
turning dirty.
Yeah, I just, it's, yeah. And you really, like, don't, I don't really have that much shame about crying anymore. And I think that's like growth in itself for me, but I think a lot about how, like, why not cry all along? Like, why not, right? Kind of just feel your emotions even more. So I think that kind of also ties into, like, being in my body more, being more aware of, like, yeah, that's just really sad. And kind of being like, what do we do? Like, what do we do? And feeling the grief of things that as they come, because there's death happening at all levels in every microorganism type of layer and DNA that you can think of at all times.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Where, what do you think that shame comes from crying?
I don't know, dude, because you want to be tough. Mm. Like, when you're young, I feel like you want to be tough. Yeah. And I do think that it comes with, like, age in terms of, like, the newness of who you are when you're growing up. At least that's what I think it was for me. It's just, like, really asserting my independence a lot and asserting that you can't just cry for anything because it's kind of like, I'm going to have all my life to cry, which is true, but also, like, realizing, like, well, that's fine. Like, you can cry through things and stuff, but I don't know where, like, I think it's cultural, to be honest, but I do think it was, like, wanting kind of to really mold myself to be, like, this really strong, independent woman that, you know, can be, like, direct and assertive, kind of like who we were talking about before this. Mm-hmm. We Googled her for an hour.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of the message, you know.
Yeah, love her.
And, like, thinking, like, what do I equate that to? And why is it equated to not, like, crying? Or why is it equated to not, you know, really sitting with, like, the things that are happening around the world and sitting with the lives that people live that are very difficult and very hard,
yeah.
Right? And even crying from knowing that you may not know that feeling because you live a very privileged life. Or I've never experienced that because it's never even been in my radar of anything because of the life that I've lived. And then I think about my parents. And then it leads to this whole thing, right, where you think about all these things. So. I think that's where it came from. Just, like, you're tough. And you're, like, you mentioned you want to be invincible. And genuinely still feeling like I am invincible. But I think that's more DeLulah now. Mm-hmm. Which you have to be DeLulah.
To survive.
Yeah. For and sure. So I'm like, I think I was onto something then when I was
younger. No, listen. I tell Angel all the time, I would love to aspire one day to be as DeLulah as Leslie. Like, I just like, want... I yeah, because it helps you cope with it might not even be your reality. It could be like what you're perceiving as your reality because you're going to have so many things telling you the opposite.
Yeah.
That you can't listen to everybody.
Yeah.
Right? Because even that post that you're talking about with your mom and stuff or your parents, I brought that up to my mom. I was just like, I just feel guilty that I'm here living my life and like I'm not there. And she's just like, yeah, but that's like something that like you do. Like when you're young, you go live your life. Like you don't like, she's like back in the rancho days, you know, yeah, we like got a house and a thing. But then when I genuinely think about my life, if that's what it were to turn into, I don't know if I'd be happy, you know, living at home. It's hard to balance because, yeah, our parents are getting older and their death is reality that we are coming to grips with because, yeah, we're getting older and more people are dying. Like, we are recognizing around us more death because we're at the age where people are starting to die, you know?
Yeah, and I think also we have just a better understanding of death. Yeah. When you're younger, I don't think you really understand it. At least I was like kind of like, geez, people die. Like, that's sad. Mm-hmm. But you have a mentality, I think, of like, that's just not going to happen yet. You know, you just don't genuinely think it unless something unfortunate really happens to you young, or right, you like snap into quite literal reality and you're like, oh shit, yeah. I could die.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I think the moving away and living your life is like something that you must do, and it's a reality. And also thinking, like, as much respect and love that we have for our parents, like, there was this thing that a client of mine actually said that literally encapsulated perfectly what I have felt for, like, my parents for a very, very long time. And it's, like, this nostalgia of feeling really, really loved, really protected, really taken care of, that is a fragment of my imagination. Because that's always something that I'm longing for my parents, that did exist at some point, but not to the intensity that I believe it to exist. And of course, in my perspective and how I have felt ever since moving here, is like, you long for that comfort. I've longed for the comfort of being next to my parents, living next to them. Like, I would love to live next to my parents and be with them. But with this feeling and this ache of that I'm pursuing this comfort that just doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. And didn't really exist. It was just kind of this fragment of my imagination that I perceived at some point. And now learning what being loved and protected and taken care of as a parent you would want, you know, to kind of exhibit and do for you, wasn't fully what my parents were doing. Not at a fault because of them and because they didn't love me, but because they're immigrants. They had 5 kids. They were working. And some of these things that I long for didn't really exist. Mm-hmm. They exist in the stories and books, mm-hmm. and songs that I listen to and experiences that people share about and the ways that I read about, like, healthy parenting. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so that is, like, when she said that, that was so groundbreaking for me.
That's insane.
I was like, oh my gosh. And I knew that there was this longing for something that did not exist.
Yeah.
And like accepting it and being okay with it and knowing that it's just not there. It's not going to, that thing that is not going to be filled and fulfilled and satisfied when I see my parents, because it's not there. Like, the love and comfort that my parents have given me and protection has been very different than what I am seeking at this age in my life, yeah. right now. Yeah. So something like that, thinking about like that, makes me really sad, really emotional. Cause I also think about conversations I want to have with my parents and like thinking you have limited time and why it's tough and rewarding at the same time.
Yeah.
And making that progress this year to do that more with my parents has been tough and rewarding, because I've had more conversations with them that have been more in depth about like who I am and what I am and like, who are they? And like, what are you thinking about? And how do you feel? And what was your childhood like? And things like that, that you care to know about, because it's going to mean a lot in the far future.
For sure.
You know?
Yeah. And that's what I always try to ingrain in my brain, because I think by seeing so much death around me, people losing their parents from as young as not even conscious to as old as my mom, which was like 60.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's never easy. And I think the only thing I can hold on to instead of avoiding them dying is knowing that I've had every conversation I could possibly have with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
That she doesn't, I don't have to question, does she love me? Does she really know who I was? Did I really know who she was? You know, like, I want to be able that when that time comes, like, I always tell her, like, you know, if I have to give a speech, because I was like, I think I have to give a speech at your funeral. She's like, I don't give speeches at funerals. Mm-hmm. And I was like, but what they asked me?
Yeah.
I was like, what I would say would just be like, I know that, like, with her leaving, there was nothing left unsaid. There was not a grudge, a secret that we both didn't know of each other or whatever, that she knew everything, maybe not the shenanigans, but, you know, knew everything that she could about me. And that's like what I can take with me. Because what I've heard from so many people, it's always like regret. Mm-hmm. Regret not being there. Regret not feeling loved, not having their parents say I love you. Or like things like that. Like I don't want to leave. I want them to leave. I don't want them to leave me with any regret. I want them to leave and accept the grieving and how it's going to come. Because you never get over it. Apparently you never get over it.
I 100%, 1,000, 3,000, 4,000, 7,000, 8,000, I believe that. Yeah, I see it all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, when my grandma died, I was young, so I didn't understand that. But I remember seeing and hearing my mom cry like never before.
Exactly.
And
guttural.
I visually kind of still remember her like on her knees and kind of still hear it. Visceral and, yeah, like quite literal. And very deep. So, and my mom was like attached to my grandma, but also left very young.
Yeah.
You know, so I didn't even know what to do at that age. But knowing that that is going to be.
Waiting
for
you.
Waiting for me on the other side is something that I'm like,
yeah,
I will never. Even now, like I always, it's like a gut to, like a punch to my gut because I know that's not even a fraction of how I'll feel.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like, I know that you do have these deep conversations with your mom. And I'm like, you know what? That's true. They do talk about a lot of things. So in a way, it's made me just ask my parents, like, things. And, like, you know, my dad's not really talkative and they never are. So, like, I want him to know that I'm interested in his life and that I care, you know, to know, like, things that he's probably never been asked or, like, for him to remember his like childhood and like what he was as a little boy and like what did you like and like what did you care about and things like that. Because if our parents, if we're not healing our inner child, I 100% guarantee you our parents don't even know what an inner child is. Yeah.
They don't even know who they are.
They don't even know who they are. So that has been something that I've been doing this year. Mm-hmm. So long-winded way of saying, but yes, my why for the tough and the rewarding year is see exhibit A, B, and C from the above.
For sure.
And A, B, C, D, E, W.
Yeah.
So that's been my year.
Okay.
What about you?
Mine's gonna be less short-winded because I would say my two words are chaos and mystery.
Ooh.
Chaotic mystery.
That's interesting.
Or mysterious chaos.
Okay.
Just because I've never experienced anything that has happened since I moved here.
Yeah.
I never, and it's just weird because I never went to college with a degree. So I didn't have like the normal, you go to school, you graduate, then you get a job, and then you stay in that field because it's in your degree. Mm-hmm. I just did whatever was like asked or like oh, I want to move to Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
So I moved to Kansas City. Oh, I want to move to California. So I moved to California, but there's no other, I don't have like a master plan of what I want. I know what I enjoy and what makes me happy, but I don't know anything else past that.
Mm-hmm.
And doing these random jobs, now having a more secure job, it's confused me more because I'm now dealing with like someone like me in a workforce that doesn't embrace people like me. Cause I remember my director was asking me today, he's like, I'm just like, they're very blunt. And he was like, I'm just very surprised that you're not more mature in the way you are at work. And I'm like, I think it's because I've never been in a situation where I've been like mentored on how to act. I've just done it. I've never been to college where a professor was like, hey, don't do this or hey, do this, like, or whatever. Like, I've never had a mentor, like, in my parents, I've never even had someone be like, hey, like, maybe don't give your opinion. You know, don't be like North. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't be like, girl, this shit's ugly.
Never be North.
Exactly. You know what I mean? So it's just like, I've just been dealing with my personality in a place that, like, is, I need to be more assimilated.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not who I am. Like, I'm like so anti-assimilation that it's like really hard for me to do that.
Okay, Westworld.
I am Dolores. I can feel Dolores coming on, but good thing no one's going to know that reference. But I just feel like I don't know what to do. I feel like I do my best to befriend people, but then I feel like I let my guard down and then that fucks me up. Or I get too confident and too comfortable and then something happens to like be like, no, bitch, like you're unemployed again. I don't know. I just never know what's going to happen. And it sucks because I'm a Virgo. And I guess I'm just so used to there being a plan. But I think it was easier in school because it's easy.
I mean, the plan is kind of given to you at school, right?
True,
like,
yeah.
Choose your fucking classes.
Yeah. And now I don't...
But you're also, like, so young that you are, like, making plans based off other people's plans.
Yeah.
And you kind of weren't like that, right? You kind of were like, well, I'm going to do a cool thing or...
Yeah. I mean, I wanted to follow the plan because I wanted to fit in. I wanted to go to college with everybody. You know? But then I took college classes because I wanted to graduate early. Because I knew I hated being in school. But I also wanted to be in that environment with people. I didn't want to lose that type of, like, bonding that you do in college. You know, the messiness, all that stuff. So, I don't know. But I've just been having a really hard time accepting myself and changing myself and working that together. Because when I'm overwhelmed and overstimulated, my instincts just kick in. So, if I am already annoyed and something just, like, pushes me over to the edge, like, I literally completely black out and just, like... just, like, react with... And then, like, literally the next second, I'm like, fuck, why did I do that? But, like, it's... I don't have the mental capacity to be like, dude, just stop. Just relax. Just take a breath. Because if I do relax and take a breath, it doesn't change the fact that I'm still upset. You know what I mean? So it's like... I can go to therapy, I can do all of these things, and I should, and, you know, obviously that's something I need to do, but I guess I'm having a hard time coping with everything changing so fast. Like, you mentioned it a little bit, but, like, rent, like, my job is more than I've made before, but it's still not enough, and it's just, and you were saying something about, like, there is no home to go back to or something like that, where it's like, even if I were to say I want to just pack it up and go home, it's not even like it's even easier there. Like, we've seen rent increases all over the United States. We've seen zero raises all around everywhere that I just think like, okay, so absolutely no way am I making $25 when I get to Kansas. There's no way. They're not going to have a nonprofit coordinator position open in Kansas. And if there is, I guarantee it's probably like $17, $15. So it's just kind of like, it just doesn't, I don't know. It just doesn't. And like even my friend, he rents an apartment and I forgot what I said he made, he pays, but it's like, I think it's like $700 to like $800 for a studio. I had a one bedroom for like $350 when I was in high school. I mean, in college. So I don't know. It's just in our apartment in Kansas City, $600 for a two bedroom. Parking out the wazoo, yes, there was murders and shootings and robberies, but hey.
What city did you have that?
Hey, it's toughened this up. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I've just have been living in a constant, like, chaos of just, like, things not going the way I thought they were going to go and having no way to make them go my way. And, like, I just don't know what to do. Like, I just have to take it one day at a time. And, like, I can't do something subtly. Like if, like, let's say, like, for example, like, at work, right? Like, it's, like, I do give my opinion. And a lot of times it is, like, kind of harsh. Because it's, like, I just want to get to the point. I don't want to, like, dance around. Like, you know, everything worked out great. But I think maybe we should probably find some sort of solution to something that I think might be happening. No, I'm like, this line was slow. And I think that we should do this next time. And then everyone's like, well, your way isn't always the right way. You don't even know. Okay, so then I just won't say anything. Maybe I'll write it down next time. But then me completely shutting down and not saying anything, then everyone's going to be like, well, you're always giving opinions. You're always doing this. So why aren't you saying anything now? So it puts an extra spotlight on how I'm trying to cope with my personality in a workplace. So it just... there's no right solution to what I need to do. The right solution would be carefully cater or curate my words, but I'm sorry. In a meeting, I get asked a question. I don't have time in my brain to just like think. Maybe I could say, that's a very good question. I'll get back to you on that. I could say that, but also, I don't know. It's just, it's all just a thing where it's like, there's so many solutions, but they just don't work for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like a lot of times solutions that people have, they're very just like generic, where it's just like, I remember I saw this TikTok where it's like, if you struggle with doing things throughout the day, just make a checklist and just do each one by one. Great idea. Why didn't I think like, oh my God, the whole time I've been sitting here depressed, I could just be making a list and going off of it. Like, that's the dumbest shit I ever fucking heard. And that's how I would respond. But it's because I get.
And that's.
Oh, shit. Hold on.
And that's how people get callous and cynical.
No, but like even. Hold on. And even like that reaction I just had, I got triggered. Because I've had so many empty solutions that at this point, it's kind of just like, I'm over it. So when that, like, right, that example of me doing that, I didn't even think about what I was saying. I just said it. So no part of me was like, calm down. Like, whatever. Like, it was just natural what just happened. You know? And like, I don't know. I don't know who I am. So, I mean, I know who I am. But is that who I am? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, is that really who I am?
So that's both chaotic and mystery.
It's chaotic because I get thrown for a loop.
Okay.
It's chaotic because I try to fit in. I try to do things and it just doesn't work because then something will happen that completely throws me off. Even like the utilities job. Mm-hmm. I thought everything was fine. I hated it. I was trying to leave. I thought I was doing a good job. And the next day they're like, fuck you. Bitch, get the fuck out of here. And then my car breaks down.
Yeah.
And Angel's in fucking Vegas and you're fucking, I don't know, doing something. Mm-hmm. So I'm stranded in the middle of fucking nowhere with fucking panhandlers surrounding me. And I'm just like, this is really my life. Then I find out my fucking insurance is never going to go down and I can't shop around for insurance. Mm-hmm. So then it's just like a whole, it's like things like that's what the chaos comes from. The chaos comes from, I think I'm getting it. And then it just completely disappears.
Mm-hmm. And the mystery?
The mystery is like, I don't know what's happening. Like the mystery is like, bitch, I.
When's the next chaos?
Yeah. Okay. It's just like, there's no clear path to what I want to do.
Yeah.
Because even before this, I think I probably said on the podcast, but like I was like saying like, I want to do IT.
Yeah.
I still do, but also I love helping people. I love organizing things. I love managing people. I love doing a lot. Like I just love being stimulated like mentally. Like I just love always thinking. I love always, like I have to literally stop myself from thinking about things at work while I'm at home because I'm enjoying thinking about how I'm going to make this flyer or I'm thinking about what my post will look like in a few days or how I'm going to edit something or just anything. Like I always fantasize about doing things. Like that's like my free time. Like my daydreaming is thinking about stuff. Mm-hmm. So I have to stop myself and be like, girl, you're not working. Like you can do that fun fantasizing when you're at work, but when you're at home, just don't. When you're getting paid, fucking think about work, you know? So like that's like the mystery and the chaos is that I never know what's going to happen. Every time I think I know what's going to happen, doesn't go anywhere near what I want. And then it just leaves me even more confused than I was before. Like now this job is okay. It's great. It's whatever. So what does this mean for me now? Because I could still do IT, but I really do enjoy helping people.
Yeah.
You know, I work with youth. I love... Like, honestly, like, my formative years of, like, support, unfortunately, were not for my parents. They were for my teachers, some certain teachers that I do really do respect teachers. And in a dream world, I'd love to be a teacher, but absolutely not. Kids apparently are feral.
Yeah.
They're crazy. They hit you.
Yeah.
They shoot you. They shoot you in kindergarten, bitch. Like, so it's just like, no, thank you.
And
for $30,000 a year, no, thank you.
And your school will get shut up.
Yeah, and you will have to show up the next day and clean blood off your own fucking door because they're not going to hire someone to do that.
It's so sad, actually.
It is. It's not, but we cope by making jokes.
Yeah.
So,
this
yeah.
This is a USA humor.
Yeah, this is, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know.
What?
The chaotic and mystery, I love that you're seeing it that way because, So prior to this year being chaotic and mysterious, what did you have the year before?
Sadness and despair. Because work was a lot less consistent.
Yeah.
And it was more random that I never found anything that made me happy.
Mm.
And this at least makes me happy.
Yeah. You know? The chaos, there's some happiness in the chaos.
Yes.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Because you said, don't know what's coming next, which doesn't mean that the next thing that come in won't be, like, something positive. Because it's always, like, it seems like life is taking you, like, left, right, bottom, low, stop, still. But you don't know when it's happening and you don't know why. But it's not, like, consistently, like, lower.
Yeah.
But then even if it was, there's mystery there.
Yeah.
From what you're saying, right? Because you don't know why.
Yeah.
Versus, like, the sad and despair where you kind of, like, didn't have that consistency like you do have. At least you know the chaoticness is consistent.
Yeah, I mean, having this new job, I think, helped me realize, like, oh, I do know stuff.
Because
I got hired based off of my experience, not my personality. Well, I mean, my personality, but...
Absolutely not your personality.
No, I have a very good personality. I've been told by multiple people I have a great personality.
Uh-huh.
I just don't react well to things. And that's why I asked you about crying, because I cry all the time. Mm. Like, I just start crying. Like, I almost started crying when you were talking about the parents. Like, and I was like, just stop. Like, because I was like, I just
really
get
sad.
It is.
Like, I could cry about it now. Like, anytime that I'm driving thinking about it, I'm down the 5, I am crying. You're gonna cry tomorrow while going to work.
I know. I mean, I do. Yeah. I do. And I think that's why, I don't know, that's why I love sad music, because it gives me an excuse to cry.
Yeah, you're different. You're built different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's interesting to hear you say all of this, because something that you mentioned, like, a long time ago was, like, being very anti-therapy and very anti-pills.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that you're even talking now that you've considered, like, getting on them is very different than, like, you 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, before you were very, like, I'm absolutely not, absolutely not. And I think the patient has every right. And I think to hear you kind of fast forward now in your life and talk about it now as a possibility, but still not wanting to, is growth in a way. And even hearing you say therapy, I haven't heard you say that word in, like, 3 years.
Yeah.
You know? And you not really wanting to, like, go back into Western therapy or that. And so you'd rather this instead of that.
Mm-hmm.
But now you're in the this.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you're thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
Because of how extreme you're finding yourself with the chaos and the mystery of, like, what does this mean, right?
Mm-hmm.
And knowing what you do hate and knowing what you do like. And how do you move forward with that?
Mm-hmm.
Especially with, like, the consistency that has been this year of chaos and mystery.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in that way, I think the more that you repeat some of these things, they are in, like, a different tone. But I think it's kind of showing you, like, possibly things that need to change for you.
No, for sure.
Things that, like, you need to maybe, like, really look into particularly, right? Or things that you're noticing that just maybe aren't going to work out for you.
For sure.
You know, right? And so really kind of noticing that, like, okay, I am reactive. We've known this, right? You've known this.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone unchecked for a long time. You've been put on check. But then also now being, like, an adult and having to deal with, like, this reactiveness that you have, how does that impact your day-to-day, right? And how does that impact you as someone that genuinely likes helping and went through, like, a really tough time? And what does that mean for you? And what does that look like for you now in
mm-hmm.
having to reel it in, change it, work with it? We talked about this off the record a few days ago where if you can't change, like, your personality, right? Like, that's who your DNA is. And you, some of these patterns and behaviors are, like, really embedded and cemented in, then how do you work with it, right? And so I mentioned to you that's different now hearing you say that. Because I think a long time ago, you were very adamant, like, this is who I am, and this is who you're going to get,
yeah,
right? But now you're kind of learning, like, actually, no.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are a certain way, doesn't mean that's who they need to get,
mm-hmm.
right? And you're being kind of made aware of this by almost every kind of in your work environment because of the environment that it is. It's reminding you, like, at every space, like, things that you need to change about yourself that makes you kind of feel like, do I need to change this? And you have a lot of, like, factors involved, which really tied to kind of what I mentioned through, like, my little check-in is, like, I see the effort that people are putting and I see kind of like as an outsider and as an observer, why you're kind of boxed in a way, right? Like you really need to have income and the workforce is a joke for a lot of people. You know, the type of jobs, the supervisors, the people they have in roles, the companies, everything is stupid. But then you need that for this, right? The this and then that. But then also kind of figuring out yourself in the process of it. And how are you going to see this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what are you going to make out of it?
Yeah.
And I think that as you also continue to evolve, like you're seeing like, wow, I really would like mentorship because I didn't realize that like you can't respond this way. And I thought it was normal, but like why did no one ever tell me it was normal, right? Mm-hmm. And so you're hearing a lot of things now, like feedback at like this position. But also I think feedback combined from like friends, right? Or even like mom or whatever, mm-hmm. saying like, you kind of have like this tone to you, right? Or something like that. But you're not really seeing it until it's repeated to you from something that you quite literally need, mm-hmm. which is this job.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think you describing it as chaotic and mystery is like really cool because I can totally see that. And more so like internally, right? For you too. Because you're also kind of discovering yourself more through this.
Yeah.
Like, of who it is that you need to be and what, kind of like what you are willing to assimilate to because we all have to.
Yeah.
No matter how authentic you show up, guys, it's fine. They, thems, she, hers, he, he's, he's, theirs. There's some assimilation that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you think you're doing it or not, it'll happen in a setting. It might not happen at work, but it might happen with your friends.
Yeah.
It might happen with your partner or it might happen in family or in a social setting. That is, I think, the beauty, though, about trying to connect
mm-hmm.
and then really knowing who your people are.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can, if you have to assimilate, you will. But there's also that thing about showing up as who you are. But, like, are you showing up in a way that's genuinely, like, kind and authentic and where you're doing the work to know that you will attract the people that will be able to, like, kind of nurture you?
Mm-hmm.
Or also, you know, if you are showing up in a way that there's an underlining kind of untreated, whatever they may
mental
be,
illness.
Mental illness behavior,
yeah,
then it's like,
yeah,
what are we attracting, right?
For sure.
And I think that's kind of what it is,
mm-hmm.
right? So I think you run into a lot of situations that kind of push you, challenge you a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But you kind of like the challenge because you've known that if you're not challenged, it's very easy for you to kind of just let your days pass by.
Yeah.
The challenge aspect is important for you. And, you know, what, even though you're in positions that is like, do I need to be challenged this way? Because this kind of sucks and it's mean. It's like, well, is it mean? Because, like, why is it mean? Right?
Yeah.
And what is it? What are you being called and pushed to kind of like really kind of like look into?
Yeah.
Deeply. Like,
yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, no, it's true.
You know?
Because I remember, yeah, when my director said that, I thought that was so random because I was
what did he say?
He was like, I just asked him for Christmas lights and he knows that I lost like our car key. And he was just like saying, oh, like, yeah, I think that you did this because, well, I'm like, yeah, probably. I really don't know. And I don't remember exactly how the combo went. But we were talking about something. I don't remember. But he says, he's like, you have good intentions. You just don't do it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you have a good idea. You just don't do it the right way. And I'm like, it's because I don't have a mentor. And like, I need someone to mentor me. He's like, even if you told your mentor, you'd probably tell him to shut up.
That's
and
true.
I was like, I mean, I don't know if I would do that. But
you're a Virgo.
Yeah, I know best. So that's the hardest part too. Is like,
does he?
Is that's the hardest part too? Is realizing stuff like that because I I mean, I don't know. It's hard because I feel like I do know best. And it's hard when, like, no one else can, like, see that. And no one wants to see that, you know? But it's not like I'm over here fucking giving dumbass ideas and no one's backing me up. Mm-hmm. It's more just, like, it's too many new ideas.
Yeah.
Where it's like, girl, like, calm down.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Kanye.
Yeah. Am I more similar to Kanye?
You are a Gemini moon. He has a lot of Gemini in his chart. Yeah, you know, it goes back to kind of what we chatted about a little bit where you know best, but in the same sentence, you must be willing to accept that you don't at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you do, but also yes, you don't. And you like, that's something that I really think you're genuinely have to work with from the bottom of my heart. I think
as a friend,
as a roommate, and someone that cares and loves you, you're going to have to work with that and like stomach that. Like actually say like, I know best, but I also don't, because you've been faced with a lot of situations where you've been turned down. And if you know best, why would that happen?
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to flip it like on its head. I always say you have to flip situations. And that's true. Like, right. If you had a mentor, but you didn't like agree
or respect them,
you wouldn't value what they would say, even though they have probably like a long history and experience that you would miss out on because you already made up your mind like, this is stupid, or like, they don't get me because they haven't lived my experience and they don't check off and they can't, and they're not cultural enough on these things. You know, now that I turn, apparently everyone can teach you something.
Apparently.
And I'm like, okay, fine.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Probably. And it's true. Mm-hmm. It's really true. And that's why when I mentioned, like, everything makes sense now. Like, it's, like, true.
Mm-hmm.
Every person can teach you something. So I'm really wanting to, right, work with your, like, attitude, work, which is not bad. It just needs to be refined.
For sure.
Because there's a difference between, like, knowing what you want and then, like, being, like, aggressive about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's power in both, but it's also kind of, like, what power does one or the other hold and which one will be more effective, which one will drive more, you know? It's kind of like the would you rather be, if you were keen or whatever, would you rather be loved or hated? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, like, you need to ask yourself that because if you want to be loved.
I want to be loved.
I know. Then you need to work through some of these things, which you're kind of already doing.
Yeah,
this
for
is
sure.
why I'm telling you, like, a lot of these things that are coming up are interesting because I think it's showing how life has made you really grow, you know, and kind of face kind of some of these things that have kind of bobbed around a little bit for you, but now are probably more present.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're kind of just having to be like, what am I being required to do?
Yeah. And you know? Even like talking with my mom and like hearing her stories and hearing how she reacts to things, I think that off the record comment I was telling you about is like accepting who I am too. It's also kind of seeing like how she reacts to things. And I know nature versus nurture, but I do think there's some nature.
Yes.
Like, there is just, like, not a coincidence when you see, like, a baby mimicking their parent, like, exactly. You know what I mean? Like I don't know. Have you ever seen those videos of, like dad sleeping with their babies and they both sleep fucking, like, all crooked or whatever, like, in the exact same position where you're kind of like, this is definitely the dad. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I think there's a really, really good component. I always love that kind of dialogue around nature versus nurture because... Yes, I think that there's a really, really good component of, like, nurture up to a certain age. Because then after a certain age, you have, like, adapted those patterns and you have, like, kind of taken in some of the behaviors that you see in the nurture aspect. But once you reach a certain age, nature is taking over.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're observing, you're touching, you're seeing, you're feeling, you're tasting, you're all these things. And it grows more and more and more.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the nurture aspects, I think, do genuinely stick, quote unquote, the good ones and the bad ones. And I don't know if because nature reinforces them somehow, and you also, like, have, like, confirmation bias and selection bias where you seek some of these nurture patterns and behaviors to be reinforced and validated, or you're someone that is malleable, right? Which life really is about being malleable kids.
Sure.
Like,
you have to,
you know, like, there is some nurture behavior there where I can recognize, like, not the healthiest. Mm-hmm. And I got it from my parents. So how do we fix that, you know, and how do we let nature fix that? But also how am I, my free will, changing that and recognizing that it's not something I want to partake in, like, how do I change, like, that response? How do I change kind of this thing that I, like, exhibit and the behavior that I show that is very, like, nurture. Yeah. And I see it in the nature. You probably reinforced it even more, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we are more connected to our mothers than what we think. Like, they birthed us.
Yeah. It's just so interesting when you hear people describe you. You know what I mean? Like, she just describes things that she does and thinks about that I'm just like, get out of my head. Like, that is just so crazy. And, like, in no way am I over here trying to relate to my mom, because she's a Scorpio, so I am nothing like her. But there are just certain things that I'm learning about her that help me. I told her, I was like, I really appreciate you opening up to me because it helps me understand myself. The more I understand you, the more it helps me understand patterns that I have as well. Because, yeah, they're inherited. I mean, DNA is thick, bitch. Let me tell you, like, you might not get everything from your parents, like, but, you know, there are just certain things that it's just undeniable that comes with your DNA.
And generational trauma is a thing.
True. Well, that's in you.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's passed down.
That is
in your DNA.
No, it's really true. Yeah, I mean, you are your mom. For sure. Like, yeah, there's certain things. I mean, yeah, your mom's rude. But she's like this tiny little lady.
Yeah.
And she's very like, no pelos en la lengua, kind of like you, like very unfiltered. But I don't think she realizes it at all, right? So has anyone checked her? Or have she gone and checked her whole life? And now you're not going to tell a 7-year-old lady, like, it's not how you respond.
Mom, that's not very PC.
Yeah, that's not PC. Like, that's not how you respond to, like, I don't know, like, someone on the street. Like, whatever, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, when I met Jay's mom, I understood a lot of things. I was like,
About why I'm the way I am.
Yeah. And why you had a complicated relationship with her too, as well. Because I was like, and this was way back. But yeah, I understood. I was like, I can see. Yeah, she is difficult.
Yeah.
And not difficult in a way that, like, I know of. Because the only thing you can compare it to is, like, your own mom, right? And I'm like, yeah, my mom would have never done that. Mm-hmm. You know? And kind of just seeing her, like, move around the world. But also having, like, very nice intentions, wanting to help every single person along the way.
Yeah. It's insane. Yeah. And seeing it happen to her. Like, seeing that being rewarded to her, to where she's just like, you know what? I don't even think about money. It just comes. She's like, that's what I've learned. Is that
power of manifestation.
Is that when you do good, good will be given to you.
Eckhart totally changed her life.
And I wish. I just don't have that much faith.
Yet. Because if your mom can think it, you can think it. You guys think the same.
Yeah, I don't really compare her to the bad things, right?
I mean, all the good things too as well. Yeah. I mean, if she has the power, you do too.
Yeah, but I think for next year, not to do a resolution
resolution.
Not to do like a New Year's resolution or anything, or to do like a New Year's promise, nothing like that. It's more just like, I feel like I'm at an age now where it's just not excusable anymore. Mm. That it's like, literally at the blink of an eye, I'm gonna be 40. Quite literally. Because in the blink of an eye, I was 30. Mm-hmm. Bitch, I can still remember my 20th birthday. Actually, no, I can't. Mm-hmm. What's my 20th birthday? I didn't remember that. I remember my 22nd, but that's about it. But like, I want to just glow up. Mm-hmm.
Glow up or grow up?
Both.
Yeah.
Because I guess like glow does kind of sound like more like superficial, but I guess I mean it more like glow up. Because people say glowing up, like, yes, you get hotter, but it's more just like everything changes about you. Your
aura.
Your aura.
Your presence.
And that's what I want. I just want people around me to feel like, He has good energy. Yeah. I don't want people to think that I'm just like a moody bitch. Like, yeah. I just don't want that persona. Mm-hmm. I want to, and that's the thing. It's like, I like being a bitch. So I kind of want to find a way to be fun and caring, but still kind of have a little spice, like a little bit of a like.
Yeah, a little picante.
A little edge to me, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I honestly think that there's always a time to be a bitch.
For sure.
Like, when you need to, you know you have to. Mm-hmm. There's certain times that will come up in life where you'll need to.
Put your Karen light
yeah, hat on. You'll have to, because it's like.
Racism, discrimination, yeah, things. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's just certain things that it's just like. But I do think that there's a certain way to go about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Versus kind of like the bitchiness that we know of when we were like younger. Like, that's just, it's not going to go as far as it used to, because back then it was like, you know, like it was to be mean and to like poke and to like make people like, ugh, like they're mean. But now it's just like, okay, now it's going to be about like relations and like being seen a certain way and being perceived a certain way and like leaving kind of like this imprint of like the type of person that you are. Because that's kind of who you're going to be remembered.
Yeah, I want to be remembered as someone who was kind, compassionate, intense, and knows what he wants. Like, mm-hmm. I just want to be those things, mm-hmm. because that's how I feel. I feel like I have compassion for people. I feel like I'm empathetic. And I feel like I know what I want when it comes to, like, work, right? When it comes to work, I know... I'm not confused at work. I'm confused in my personal life, but when I get a job, I know what needs to be done with the job, you know? Mm-hmm. And I just want to not ever have anything negative attached to any of that stuff, right? I don't want you to think that because I'm intense, I'm rude.
Yeah.
I want you to be like, oh, like, no, he says, like, I need to get this done today. Like, I like, actually, he told me I need to do it. Not like, oh, he was so blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I want to be like, that person that we were talking about, that we were Googling. I want to be gorgeous, a founder, and a mom.
And a mom.
You know what I mean? Like, I want to do all of those and have green eyes. I want to do all of those things.
Yeah. And not look a day past 30.
Exactly. Which I haven't been told.
No. Yeah, so you have one of those down.
And I want to be youthful. Like, you know, and then back to your thing and to wrap everything up, I never want to feel old. I know I'm 30, but I don't want to give in to that, like, oh, I'm so older. Or like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to do that. Because no. I see my mom being 70, no. You know, and like hearing other people's parents like way younger than my mom in the hospital, like, you know, like frail and stuff, that it's like, I want to be like that. And I do think that it's like...
Frail?
No, I want to be like my mommy. I want to be older and still not wanting to stop. You know what I mean? Like, I want to feel like that. And yes, I'm tired. I'm always tired. But I accepted that I'm always going to be tired. So that's just part of my life. Like, I'm going to wake up tired.
Mm-hmm. That's
just what it is.
That's something that I wish was talked about a lot more.
Yeah.
It's just like, sometimes I hear people that are always tired and I'm like... So that's everyone, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
No, but yeah. So I never want to give into the cynicalness, and you know, I'm afraid in the future just because I'm forgetting more and more of my teenage years. Like, it's hard for me to relate to that person.
Yeah.
Like, the older that I'm getting, I'm starting to kind of forget.
Who she was,
which, I mean, I think is good, but also right. It's like, it's not good because then it doesn't make me empathetic towards younger people.
Yes. I think that's an important piece. Something to say with that is that, like, you know, you were young, so you know you were stupid. Mm-hmm. Every single person that was young, no matter this founder, she was stupid as hell. I assure you, she did two stupid things at least.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah. Well, she got pregnant.
At least, yeah. Right? So I think about all of these, and even my parents write the stories that your mom tells you. Like, my mom did some wild stuff, mm-hmm. and I'm like, yeah, like, you had no business doing that. Like, what, you know what I mean? And I don't know, you have younger siblings that I think will always remind you of that. So I honestly think that even if you forget, I'm seeing how, even if I forget, I have a younger sister who
tests you every day.
No offense. Sometimes does really stupid things. And I can only empathize because I too had that mindset. I too thought the world of something. I too fell to the knees crying, swearing I would never get over it. Swearing on my grave.
Girl.
Y'all gonna marry me with this. Marry me with this.
Yeah. We have an episode about it.
And then seeing the next day just like how that changes.
For sure.
Which shows you like life and the impermanence of life every single day. But you know, I think those are good things to keep in mind in what you're pursuing, and that youthfulness I think is really important.
Yeah.
Kind of preserving that.
And just don't get cynical. Because at the end of the day, if we get cynical, they win.
That's true. That's honestly true. I can't imagine. I'm going to hold space for the fact that that could happen. But also knowing that, like, I'm really actively trying to do things that, like, humble me and connect me and ground me, like, a lot. Mm-hmm. That I don't, you know, get to reach that point.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Like, maybe AI will run our world and maybe I'll have to, like, survive, like, The Last of Us. I don't know. Like, I'd be cynical then.
Yeah, for sure.
I'd be pissed.
Yeah, I'd be really mad.
You know?
Well, with that, I hope you have a good year.
Me too. You too.
You're going on vacation. I'll miss you.
I am going to miss you.
No, you won't.
I know.
But it's okay.
No, honestly, though, I'm really proud of you and I'm really excited for you. Really, you've mentioned things that I've just waited a long game.
I've been waiting years for you to say.
The long game is the game to play, guys. I always tell him this. The long game is the game that you want to play.
Mm-hmm.
Really. Is it necessary? Is it kind? Is it needed?
Is it kind?
Practice that long time ago. Like hearing you talk about like your mental health and like who you are as a person, and to hear it be like center in your life right now that you're considering all these things is really like really, really, really cool. Because I think it's only going to push you even more. And kind of hearing you say how you're perceiving things and how you want to be, I think really shows like how you've grown from like 2 years ago, 3 seasons, 4 seasons ago, you know, to like now genuinely wanting to be someone that's remembered for like these qualities that you really value now that maybe before like weren't just really in your radar because you were kind of stuck in like a different kind of transition or different phase of your life.
Yeah.
That now just for you, it's not serving you anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so it's really cool.
Yeah. And I love having you in my life because you show me what happens when you do that.
Mm.
You know, like you're a good example of someone that goes through things, but still manages to come out of it happier and healthier than you were before, even if something else sets you back.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that because it gives me hope that I will also be there too. Like, same with, like, the job, right? Like, you went a long time without a job. You still got it. And you lost it. And then you got it again. And then same for me that when I go through those things, I can see you as an example and think, like, I'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
I just have to discipline myself and become focused. You know, it's just not something that's done overnight, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're not going to be disciplined next tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, I'll do my best. Like, I'll do my best to meal prep for a week. But, you know, if next week I just lost that motivation, I just need to remember to get back on it, then to kick myself or to say, I'll never become that person or, you know.
Yeah. No, I think that's a really good thing that you point out. And I do appreciate you saying that because I do rub up on these boys. Let me tell you.
I don't know how much.
Seeing like things that you implement now to set you up. And it only takes, like, you living it and, like, experiencing it to know, like, what serves you, what doesn't. Like, what works and what doesn't. And what is worth it enough for you to, like, continue to, like, invest or continue to kind of work your discipline around that and your focus, right? Because you see the benefit and then some other things, you're like, that's not for me right now, that's just not going to work, you know. But it's cool. I mean, really surround yourself with people that, like, challenge you.
That's true.
We challenge each other all the time. That really kind of maybe pose itself in itself a mirror to, like, how you can be a better person and how you can humble yourself down and tone it down. There's always going to be opportunity for that, I think, with people that you surround yourself. And there's always going to be people that I think you can learn from and kind of learn how to just either show up better or be better.
There's always time for kindness.
There is always time for kindness.
All right. So have a good year.
Bye.
See you next year.